Well, good morning. If you've been around Ashworth anytime, you may be wondering, okay, what's going on? This is a little different, only two songs. Brent's up there at 9:30. So either he's going to be really short and get us out of here really early, or he's got really a whole lot to say, and we're going to be here. No, I'm just kidding. No, we wanted to change things up a little bit, and because we want to close out this service today. We've been in this series called Risky Business, and every week we've been looking at this idea that it's risky to follow Jesus. It's not as easy as maybe you had heard it or I had heard it. You know, somewhere along the way, somewhere along the journey, somebody tried to convince us that, oh, just say this prayer, just follow Jesus, and it's all easy at this point. Life will be, you know, unicorns and butterflies and rainbows, and don't worry about it because following Jesus is easy. But when you begin to read the stories in the Bible, you understand that that's not how it works at all. That somewhere in this journey, that it's not easy, that there is this tension that exists between my comfort and how I live today and the faith that calls me to live counterculturally and as a citizen of the kingdom of God. And so that's where we're going to close out this series today, talking about how it's risky to forget. It's risky to forget. Now, if you know anything about me, you know I have no memory. Can I get an amen? You know, I've said before, if you guys walk out this door on Sunday and you tell me something, I will promise you I will not remember it. It will never cross my mind again. So you have permission. If you need to tell me something important, say, Brent, write this down. Better yet, why don't you just email me? That's the easiest way, right? Because then it pops up in my inbox. A couple weeks ago, my family and I had the opportunity to travel, to go on vacation, and it was my parents' 50th wedding anniversary in May, and so my brother decided to rent a house for the entire family in Gulf Shores, Alabama. That entire crew right there was in one house for an entire week together, and we all survived. It was a miracle. But one of the things, as we got together as a family, we'd sit around the dinner table or we'd sit around the living room, and many of our conversations would begin with this expression, do you remember? Do you remember? And we would share these memories together. Do you remember going to this place? And do you remember going here? And I have to admit, many times the answer to that question was, no, I don't remember. I do remember some things from childhood, but I've never had a strong memory. I've never been one that could pull out these things over and over and just remember. You know, I do remember, and we still laugh about it. On the 4th of July, my extended family got together, uncles and aunts and all this. And my uncle, I can remember one specific moment. We were on vacation together with my uncle and aunt and their kids. And we were at Dallas, Texas, and we were going to Six Flags while we were there. We stayed at a hotel in the airport compound there. And in order to get out without having to pay the fee at the toll booth, you had to get your parking ticket validated. Well, my uncle thought he had, and when he got to the toll booth, they told him it hadn't been, and therefore he had to pay the fee. And this was, of course, kind of upsetting to him, and he's arguing back and forth a little bit. And I remember clearly, and we still laugh about this to this day, my uncle hands her the money, and she's trying to apologize, and he looks at her, and he says, no, 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 that's okay. We won't be back. And we drove off. And so even just on the 4th of July, my uncle and I were recounting that story because it was so fun to remember that moment that just sticks out in my head. He claims he doesn't remember it, but I do. You know, I do remember when my kids were born, but I don't remember how old Hannah was when she got her first tooth or she started to walk. I hope Carrie remembers that. I know I'm a terrible mind. My dad just doesn't work that way. But I was reassured this week that as I read an article about memory, it said that short-term memory can hold up to 7 pieces of information, but only for 20 seconds. And I thought, oh, that's about right for me, maybe less. And then it said you can also have about 70,000 thoughts in a day. 70,000 thoughts. So I don't feel so bad about forgetting what you tell me as you leave church this morning. You know, sometimes we forget the insignificant things, but sometimes we forget important things. Sometimes we forget the important stuff. Maybe you don't remember all the details about your first date. I remember mine with Carrie. We went to see the movie Aladdin, the original one, the cartoon, 25 years ago. You know, maybe you do or don't remember where you had your first kiss. I do know, but I'm not telling. You know, when we forget the important things, there's something that happens in our relationships. It kind of becomes a barrier. It becomes a block. It becomes very detrimental to those relationships. So forgetting that important date, forgetting that anniversary, which is a big one, forgetting that birthday, or maybe your spouse likes to remember that first date or all these other things, forgetting maybe the details of something that someone has shared with you. They shared with you something that was a struggle or something that was difficult and you forgot. By forgetting, it creates conflict in the relationship and it can begin to create distance between you. Anybody else ever experienced that before? I know I have. And the same is true not just in our human relationships with one another, but the same is true in our relationship with God. The same is true in our faith. Because when we forget why we follow Jesus or what Jesus has done for us or how amazing God is, it will greatly impact how we choose to live out our faith each and every day. Because if we have distance between maybe the moment we decided to follow Jesus and today, if we haven't continued to renew that, we find ourselves, just like in our earthly relationships, growing cold and distant and going through the motions. And just like sometimes in marriage, if you're not careful, you can find yourself living together in the same house but living separately. Sometimes you can find yourself in faith, showing up every Sunday morning to church, but not really connecting with God. You're in the same house, but there is no real relationship that's bringing you together. In the last book of the New Testament called Revelation, we read interesting things. The Apostle John, it was one of Jesus' disciples who'd walked with him. At this point in his life, he'd been exiled because of his faith. And he's on this island called Patmos, and he has this incredible prophetic vision, a revelation from God about things to come. But before God takes him and reveals to him all this crazy images and future events like dragons and multi-headed creatures and all this, John encounters the living Jesus, who has some words for him about seven real churches that were existing at that time. Most of what Jesus has to say is challenging, pointing out areas where the churches weren't doing what they were supposed to be doing. And that's what I want us to look at today, just to kind of remind us how important it is that we don't forget, but it's risky if we do. So if you have your Bibles, it'll be on the screen too, Revelation chapter 2. We're going to see where Jesus speaks to this very first church. It's a church in Ephesus. And I want us to look and see, what does Jesus have to say to this church? Revelation chapter 2. We're going to start with verse 1. So here's how it begins. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write. Now right away, you're like, angel at a church, what does that mean? Well, it's not a guardian angel that's like over the church. Really what John is saying, what Jesus is saying as John's writing this down, is that there's a spirit there within the church, and they're using this idea of an angel to talk about the prevailing spirit of the church, this attitude that exists at this church as a whole. So let's continue on. It says, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. Okay, more imagery that we have to kind of decipher. The him is Jesus, and it says he is holding seven stars in his hand. So that's the prevailing attitude again. That's like the angel again. And then he's talking about seven lampstands, and that is just simply the seven churches that he is about to talk to. He's saying, I'm there, I know you, I am a part of these churches already. So then Jesus continues. He says, I know your deeds. Now that's an important statement, because Jesus right here isn't talking about second or third hand information. He is among the churches. Even today here at Ashworth, he is a part. He knows what is going on. So as he addresses this church, he's not speaking as an outsider. He's speaking as someone with knowledge about what is taking place in this church. He says, I know your deeds, your hard work and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardship for my name, and have not grown weary. So here we begin, and this is great. Jesus is giving great information to this church. He's saying, look, I've seen what you do, and you are about the right things. I'm going to praise you because you're working hard. You are persevering. You're holding to the truth. There were false teachers that were coming up trying to move people away from the truth of Jesus. And this church was like, no, we won't be moved. We're focusing our attention on Jesus. And so they endured the hardship. They're not growing weary. And they're starting off really strong. And then we get to this. It says, yet I hold this against you. Now imagine you being in this position, being at this church. It's kind of like, okay, hold on, wait. Let's go back to the good stuff. It's kind of like when you're sitting in that HR evaluation, you know, what's that, that sandwich method, you know, that they teach HR people, managers, right, Michelle? You tell them something good, and then you tell them something bad, and you end with something good again, so it doesn't hurt as bad. But you really want to focus on the bad stuff in the middle. Well, Jesus here in this moment says, look, I do have something I hold against you. There's something here that I want you to pay attention to. And he tells them exactly what it is. He says, I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. You have forsaken the love you had at first. They had forgotten their love for God. They'd forgotten their love for one another. And they had forgotten their love for the community. For them, following Jesus had become nothing more than just settling into this ritual, this pattern of I'm doing the right things. And they had taken good things, like sound biblical teaching, and they'd taken it to the extreme where it was so far that it had extinguished the love that should have been there. They became so focused on right teaching that love kind of went by the wayside. He says, you're doing the right things, but you're doing them in the wrong ways. And Jesus continues. He says, consider how far you've fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. But you have this in your favor. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. And what we find here is that what starts off as a strong encouragement, Jesus saying, I see you're doing these things and this is great. But there are some things here that we need to address. And at the heart of the problem is the heart, that they had forsaken that first love. They had forgotten who they were, where they had come from, the depths at which Jesus had rescued them, what God had done, and why and who they continued to follow. Now, I don't know. I can understand this position. I can understand about being in a relationship that grows cold, if nothing more than my marriage sometimes. Not that we have a terrible marriage, but we've been married 24 years, and I can tell you, over a 24-year period, if we don't pay attention to the relationship, it goes through a natural cooling on its own. It takes work to keep that passion, to keep that fire. I have to constantly remember in order to move the relationship and encourage the relationship. We both have to. But I understand what can happen in a relationship, and especially here in this church in Ephesus, because, you know, when we think of Bible times, I think often we forget that it wasn't just all rustic buildings in third world countries with no technology and no anything. No, Ephesus was a Des Moines. It was a growing, thriving city, 250,000 people. They were a great political center. I mean, good grief, the political circus has already started here. I mean, it's there. There was real religious significance. One of the largest temples was built there. This was an important place. It was a commercial center. It was at the crossroads to three great trade routes in that culture. There was a major stadium, a marketplace, and a theater. And you see, there was so much going on around them. There was so much happening. It's easy to understand why they could have forgotten or how they could have forgotten the why behind their faith. And even though Revelation was written at the end of the first century, almost 2,000 years have passed, there are a lot of similarities between what they were experiencing as a people of the first church and what we experience in our churches today. Why did they forget? Why do we forget? And I think there are a lot of reasons here. And I think number one is it begins with busyness. There's so much to do and so little time. We live our lives most of the time with so little margin that we don't have time to really focus on the why. We just know we have to do it. In fact, that's the most famous marketing slogan that exists is just do it. That's a stupid slogan. We shouldn't just do it. We should think about why we're doing it. Because if we just do it, it means we become nothing more than just these robots that are going through the motions with no thought or no intent or no passion or no heart or no energy because we're just doing it. And if we're not careful, What began as a passionate faith within us devolves into rote ritual, devoid of any love. But along with busyness, I think there's another reason, and that's misplaced priorities. We begin to focus on other things as more important. And in America, I think it's very clear, because we're all tempted here, chase after the American dream, because that's where success is found, that's where fulfillment is found, that is where life is found, or so we're told. We want to chase after independence and self-sufficiency and privacy and political power and amassing things. And we assume that success is what those around us tell us it is, instead of trying to figure out what really matters by the one who created us and can tell us where we can find our purpose and reason for living. It's not just busyness or misplaced priorities. I think it's also distraction. You guys know I have ADD. It's a miracle that I can put two cohesive sentences together up here when I speak. It's why I have this to help me stay on track. But think about just the distractions we face in our everyday lives. The technology that we have, the entertainment that's constantly calling out to us like those sirens of the sea, saying, come, pick me up, play Candy Crush one more time. Look at Facebook again, as if what somebody had for dinner is really all that important. And we find that these distractions numb our brains and lull us into nothing more than this catatonic existence. And added to what this list that causes us to forget are not just these things, but also hurt and pain. Life not turning out like we had hoped. Those unmet expectations. Often when this happens, we look for someone to blame, and God for us is just as good as anyone. So we blame God for how our life has turned out, and that quenches and extinguishes any passion we might have initially had when we took that first step of faith. There's one more reason. I think it's the reason that the church at Ephesus really struggled with it. And it's one I think we struggle with too. It's religiosity, religiousness. They had become so passionate about studying the Bible and standing for truth, they forgot why they were studying and who they were to continue to reach. The act of being religious became more important than the relationship that should have been driving that faith all along. Religion was the focus, not the relationship with Jesus, with one another in the community. Information became the goal, not involvement in the community. Learning was paramount, not love. Now, I don't know about you, but thinking through these possibilities of what might have moved this group in the first century away from what originally drew them, I can see in myself some of my own struggles as I look at that list. That list was very easy for me to come up with because I found it very easy in my own life. Busyness, misplaced priorities, distractions, hurt, pain, and unmet expectations. All things that I think I have had conversations with Ryan and Amy about this last week. All things that take my eyes off Jesus and focus them somewhere else and cause me to forget the passion of why I'm here. Why am I up here on Sunday morning? Why do I show up to this building 5-6 days a week to work? Why do I continue to pour into this place? If I'm not careful, all these things will snuff out that love and that passion that drove me to do this in the first place. As I work through the reasons we sometimes forget, it also hit me that when I'm confronted with these things, that I also can have various reactions that aren't always positive. So when somebody wants to address maybe the busyness in my life, you know what I typically go to first? Defensiveness. Anybody else there with me? I can get pretty defensive pretty quick. And I'll point out the three other things I've done that contradict what you're trying to tell me. I think defensiveness is just human nature. Imagine Jesus speaking to you what he spoke to that church in Ephesus. It's kind of hurts, doesn't it, a little bit? It's kind of hard to hear. Nobody wants to hear you've got this area that's not right. But that's what happened. You know, reading through those verses earlier, when we get to verse 4, it begins, he says, yet I hold this against you. You know, my defensive nature would have said, I do this, though. I'm here every week. I study all the time. I stand for truth. Why aren't you talking about them? And why are you addressing me? It's that human nature to be defensive. And the thing about defensiveness is, as long as we stay in that position, we will never see a need to change. We will never understand that maybe there's something that needs to be addressed. We have to be willing to move beyond that defensiveness. Another problem arises when we forget as well, not just defensiveness, but also this. I think we begin to accept the substitutes for real faith. We assume church attendance equates to good Christianity. And we can point to all levels of activity, but we fail to see that doing activity just for activity's sake isn't what we're supposed to be doing. But there's one more problem, not just the substitutes of activity over that relationship. The last one's just what they're dealing with here. It's the loss of love. It's the loss of love. You see, they loved learning. But church is not a lunch and learn. It's a community that exhibits the love of God for one another and our community. Because without love, we cease to be a church. Let that sit in for a second. Without love, we cease to be a church. Even Jesus said it again in John 13:35. He says, everyone will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. He didn't say, if you go to church every week, if you follow the Ten Commandments, if you, you know, help the old lady across the street, if you give to the DMARC food pantry. Jesus didn't say, this is how you know they'll know you're my disciples. He says it very clearly. He says it is demonstrated in how you love one another. When our love for God cools, it has a snowballing effect. Because it's not just that our love for God that will cool, it's our love for the other people that are sitting in this room that will cool. And it also our love and our passion and our desire to reach those that aren't in this room yet. That will wane as well. One commentary this week I read put it this way. It said, good works and pure doctrine are not adequate substitutes for that rich relationship of mutual love shared by those who have experienced for the first time the redemptive love of God. And how often do we look for that substitute to think that we can replace that love with something else when there really is no substitute? So how do we fix this? So what do? We know the problem, and maybe as I'm speaking, you see some of it in your own life. You understand that there's been maybe a cooling, or maybe there's something in your own faith that you realize that I'm going through the motions. My heart's just not in it. How do we fix it? Well, as John records the words of Jesus, he lays it out for us. And in a good pastoral fashion, I'm going to give you three R's because it's just right there in the text. I didn't create it. It's just there. And as we begin, if we looked at verse 5, it said this. It said, consider how far you have fallen. That word consider is just call to mind, fix your thoughts upon, or simply just this, remember. Remember. And the way it's written in the Greek, it's not one time remember. It's remember today and keep on remembering tomorrow and remember the next day. You ever notice how sometimes when you get in a bad place, maybe it's your job or in your marriage, and when you get down, you seem to get in what I would call the death spiral that you can't seem to get out of. Nothing is right. Everything is bad or wrong. To be honest, I had this experience recently. When my family was going on that vacation I was talking about earlier, I'll mention, I wasn't thrilled to go. To be fair, I'm not a beach guy. My kids were excited. My wife was excited. I love my family, but a week at the beach is not my preferred vacation. I mean, pasty white boy and sun doesn't always mix. I found myself in a bad place mentally in the weeks leading up to it. But I had to stop, and I had to think for a moment. I just had to remember, what is this about? Yeah, you're going to go to bed every night and there's going to be sand in your bed and it's going to agitate you. You can't move without dusting off your feet because it's going to be horrible. But here I am in this incredibly beautiful place, white sand beaches with gorgeous views of the Gulf of Mexico, in this beautiful house that was like a year old that my brother had rented, so I paid nothing except the cost to get there and to eat while we were there. And I get to spend a week with my family who, because of distance of 10 hours apart, I don't get to see but about once or twice a year. how can you sit here in this death spiral and just think this is horrible? So I had to pause and stop and just kind of think to myself, this is okay. This is going to be good. And remembering the why to celebrate my parents' 50th anniversary, it was able to pull me out. It was able to stop the spiral. And you know what? We had a great week. We had an amazing week. Why did you first start to follow Jesus? What was it like when you did? Were you excited? Did you want to tell everyone you could about your new faith? Could you wait to come to church because you knew it was exciting, it was fresh, and you wanted to be there, and you knew that no one, not anything, could keep you from being a part of that community of faith because you were so excited to know what Jesus had done for you? You see, remembering reminds us of why we did this in the first place and is the first step to recapturing the first love. And Jesus continues, though, after this. He says, after you remember, he says the second word. We don't like this word. It's very convicting, but the word is just simply this, repent. Repent is just simply this. You're going this direction. I'm now going this direction. I just repented. It's a change of direction. It's a change in the way that you were going. And let me put this in marriage terms, because as I said, I've been married 24 years, and repentance seems to be a good part of marriage. If you see your marriage as loveless, if you were to see your marriage as difficult, do you know what you can do to correct this? It begins with that first step. Remember what you used to do in the beginning. Guys, what did you do to woo that woman in the first place? Ladies, what did you do to attract the attention of this guy that you wanted? Remember those things. But you know what remembering is good for? Nothing if we don't do something about it. And that's where the repentance comes in. So then, once we remember what we did, we change our behavior and actions, and we don't keep doing what we're doing that's leading to a cool and loveless marriage. We change it. We know that if we keep doing the same thing over and over again, you get what? The same results. So we have to do something different. You know what you do? You repent and you go back to what you used to do. Guys, is your wife distant? Then what did you do when you dated her? Did you write her love letters? Write her a love letter today. Did you give her your undivided attention? Give her your undivided attention today. Did you take long walks together? Get outside. It is 70 degrees right now. It's a beautiful day. Go take a long walk together. Sorry, ladies, I'm just dealing with the guys. That's all I can address. I just know what I used to do. We remember what we used to do, and we return to those things. We repent and do those things again and change the things that we want to. The same is true in our relationship with God. When and why did you start following Jesus? Think about that. In your faith, was there an excitement? Was there an innocence? Was there something new and fresh, and you just couldn't wait to get to know Jesus more? What were you doing then? What helped spark that or fan that flame? Go back and do those things again. Do what you did before you became bitter and cynical, before everything else became more important, before you started chasing those other things. And then the last thing I think we have to do is, I've already jumped ahead, it's return. Return and do the things that you used to do. You're going this way, you're remembering, you're going this way, we're going to repent, and then we're going to do. And these things require action. And the same thing in our relationship with God. You know, as I said in the beginning, today I wanted to do something a little different. I know this message for me is challenging because I don't want to forget. But I know that, just like I see in my marriage sometimes, if I don't pay attention to my spouse, if I don't do some of the things I used to do, that distance comes in. The busyness of life drives us apart. Children, can I get a witness? Man, whew, they're a blessing from the Lord. Amen. We have to pay attention to these things. But what's even greater than my marriage is my relationship to God. And I know if I'm not careful, I can even as a pastor show up on Sunday morning, pull out my iPad, say some words to you guys, sit down, sing a song, and go home, just like I've always done it. Because I know for each and every one of us, the temptation is not to stay engaged and to keep that passion and that first love, because that's a difficult thing to do. That's challenging. It does take work. But I also know that I don't want what was said about this Ephesian church to be said about me or to be said about us as a church. I don't want today's worship service to be just another box we tick on the religious duty card and scurry off to lunch. I want us to think this morning about ourselves individually and as a church. Could what Jesus said about the church at Ephesus be said about us? Are we just going through the motions? Or is our heart really in this? I get sometimes when you're in this room, all this emotion stuff doesn't fit into your paradigm of church. We want the intellectual stuff. Give me the knowledge. Teach me. But you know what? That's an excuse. Because we are called not to love God only with our minds. We are called to love God with our heart and our strength and our will and our emotion, and everything of our being is called out to us to say, this is how you love God. Not with just your mind, but your mind and your heart. Not with just your intellect, but your intellect and your emotion. So this morning, I'm going to close with just a few questions. I'm going to have the musicians come forward. And as they come, here's just some questions for you. Have you forgotten? Have you forgotten? Is your heart in this relationship with God, or do you find that more often than not, you're just going through the motions? Do you spend more time focusing on the activities of faith or the author of your faith? Do you remember what drew you to Jesus in the first place? Are there things in your life right now that you need to repent of, to return to your first love? And ultimately, what are you going to do today to experience a newness and a freshness with the one who made you and called you and chose you and frees you and loves you and saves you? As we close today, we're going to close with more music than we normally do. But not just that, we're going to do some things a little different. And as Michelle plays, I'm just going to encourage you, if you're able, go ahead and stand. And just in this moment right now, I want to create for you just a little bit of space. This is just a space to breathe. Now, I know we don't do this very often because we got things to do. We got to go, get done, let's move. This may be new agey to you. I'm sorry, it was how we created. I want you just to take a deep breath in. Just let it out. How long's it been since you've done that? And just in this moment, I'm going to be quiet for just a moment. And just breathe a little bit. Allow yourself to just exhale in this moment. And don't empty your minds. That's not the goal here. Begin to think about Jesus Christ. Think about God, who He is, and what He's done for you. Just in this moment, reflect upon God. Listen to Psalm 103. Keep your eyes closed as I read this to you. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. Praise the Lord, my soul. this may be a little weird or awkward, but we're going to embrace the awkward. Together with one voice aloud, I want you to remember and to speak right now. What are you thankful to God for? Sometimes we think, oh, I'll just think these things in my head, but I want you to actually verbalize these things right now. Don't be embarrassed. Don't let what others might say prevent you. But just right now in this moment, what are you thankful to God for? Just begin by saying, God, I thank you for, and then keep going. Songs to sing. There's plenty of time left. You don't have to worry about that. I want to make some things available to you as we sing. And the first is this prayer. Maybe something in this message really hit home. Maybe when even hearing about the first love of Jesus, you think to yourself, I haven't experienced that. And I need to experience that for the very first time. Maybe there's something that you realize has come in between you and Jesus and you're ready to repent and return. I'm going to have some folks standing up here on the front. Our prayer team, our staff will be up front. If you need prayer this morning, if there's something that you need, I'm going to invite you to come forward. I know that that can be awkward and uncomfortable to actually walk in front of people. And somebody's going to look and say, oh, I wonder what they're praying for. They're not going to think that. Not here. Because we don't care. We would rather be real than religious anyway. But if you need prayer, our prayer team is here. Come forward and we will pray with you. Maybe you don't want to come forward. Maybe there's a relationship there right standing next to you that you know that you can lean into and you can share or pray with. Maybe the Holy Spirit right now has impressed you and says, hey, there's somebody in this room I need to go pray for. Get out of your seat. Go get out of that pew and find that person and say, I don't know what's going on. I don't know why, but the Spirit of God has prompted me to come pray for you. Do that. You see up here, it's not the first Sunday of the month. I know, shocking, right? And we have a communion table. Maybe part of that process of remembering this morning is that observance of communion. Jesus said, when you do this to what? Remember. So maybe this morning you want to remember through the act of communion. You can come up here, tear a piece of the bread off, and just dip it in the juice and take it right there. Let that be a part of your experience this morning. You're invited to come do that on your own. We won't have a time. We do it together. It's up to you. But whatever you do, I want you to take the time right now in this moment to realize just how risky it is if we forget God. If we forget Jesus and all he has done for us, that's the greatest risk we have. So let's take time right now to remember as we worship.